I want to talk about knowing God this morning, to know God. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 2. We read this scripture last several weeks. We're talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I just want to segue from that. I mean, that's so vital. And really just pick up there, but go in a little bit different direction. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. But verse 2, he says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, we sang this morning, yeah, I want to know you more. Thank God. That's our heart's cry, that we just want to know Him, that we'll spend eternity getting to know Him. And if we know Him, if we know our God, not just know about Him, not just have heard some sermons about Him, you know, just with our head, but we know Him like you know somebody on earth. You know, I've read a lot about different presidents, you know, they're in the news, or I might have read about some ball players or something. There's a whole other thing to know them, to live with them. You know, people think sometimes in the natural, people, oh boy, what would it be like to know that person or to live with that person or to be married to that person? You know, flesh is flesh and people are people. And when you know somebody, it's a whole lot different. You know, you've heard somebody say, you know, somebody's just, oh boy, I'm in awe of this person and they're a celebrity or whatever, and their spouse goes, well, yeah, you don't live with them. If you live with them, you'd have a different perspective. It's different to know somebody than just to know about them. And the more we know God, the more we know Him, not just can quote some scriptures, but know Him, fellowship with Him on a day-to-day basis, daily, to know Him. That's what we are created to do, period. We were created to know our God. That's why Adam and Eve were created in the garden, was to know Him. There wasn't anybody to preach to in the garden. There wasn't any church to get together. There wasn't any business to sell anything to anybody. There wasn't any sports. Weren't even any kids. Why did they exist? They existed just to know Him and just to hang out with Him and fellowship with Him. You know, the cool of the day, just to come and just to talk with God and hang out with Him and to know Him. And just to just have a relationship with them. When you know somebody, you know what they'll do in certain situations. You know somebody closely. You have had a good friend or a spouse or brother, you know, sibling, sister. You get to the place where you know what they'll do in situations before they even say anything. You know what they're thinking. Why? Because you know them. And we want to have a relationship with God. That's all Christianity is about, that relationship, that we have been transformed. We've come from death back into life, back to that place like they were in the Garden of Eden, where our role in life is really to know Him. That's what life is all about, is to know Him. It's not about all this other stuff. I mean, think about it. Some of the things, I mean, we talk about having purpose in life and everything, and that's fine. God's got a destiny for us, because He does. God has stuff for us to do. And we live in a different age now than Adam and Eve did. But if we were to take some of the things that we say we should do, or what it means, what do you got to do for God, or you know, run your race for Him and all these things, think about it in context. How would that apply to Adam and Eve? Think about the things that we sometimes say is spiritual, and then apply it to Adam and Eve and see if it still lines up. If it doesn't line up, maybe we're missing something. Like I said, we live in a different age than them. But God created them, and they didn't have anybody to reach. They didn't have a lot of the stuff that we talk about to do. I don't think they didn't have a house to clean. They had the garden to tend. But a lot of the stuff, you know, stuff happened after the fall of Adam and Eve before. They were just in the presence of God. Everything was taken care of for them. God created them just to know them. And you know, what are we going to do when we're in heaven? I don't know everything, but we're going to know Him. And we're going to spend eternity getting to know Him better. Just think about the things that sometimes we clutter our lives with when everything is about Him and knowing Him. That's it. There is nothing more important than that. There isn't. But how many times do we think, well, I got to do, it's like Mary and Martha, you know, sitting before Jesus. Martha's doing all this stuff, and Mary's just sitting there. I mean, think of it. She was sitting at the foot of the King of the universe. Think about that. She was sitting here, if Jesus were there, and she was just sitting listening to Jesus in the flesh, one-on-one. I mean, you know, a couple other people there. But she had an audience with Lord Jesus Christ in person. Now, if God were to call, you know, Jesus were to make it known to you that I'm coming to your house, you know, at 1 o'clock today, is there anything else that you would think would be more important than that? Anything. I mean, think of it, the President of the United States said, I'm showing up at this time, and I'm going to come talk to you. You would drop everything to come have a personal audience. Mary and Martha, they were sitting there. She had a personal audience with the Christ, and yet Martha was off. She wanted to do all this stuff. Now, how many times are we like that? I'm not condemning anybody. We have a temptation. The world is going one way, tries to pull us away. It's just the way it is. And so, but we get back and clear all that stuff out and say, wait a minute. My real role in life is to know Him. Like Paul said, to know nothing else but Christ and Him crucified. If I can get that straight, if that is the most important thing in life, period, and I can get that straight, everything else will be as it should be. Because that's the big cog. I mean, that's the big deal right there. If I can get that straight, and I know my God, I know the life giver, my first priority is to sit at His feet. And I mean literally, the Holy Spirit's inside of us. We don't have Jesus physically in front, but our heart is that I want to sit before Him, and wherever I am, He's my priority. If I'm at work, and I'm still conscious of His presence, like we've been talking about, that He's in me. See, He hasn't gone anywhere. I don't have to go to a specific room now. I don't have to be with Him physically. That's very limited. But He can be with me when I'm talking to my coworker, but He's with me. And I'm aware that He's with me. And I'm aware that's my first priority. When that becomes our focus, that governs everything we do. If you know He's there, and I know Him, and I have a relationship with Him, I'm aware of that. That's my first priority. That governs our actions. See, if we have that in line, we don't have to try real hard to act right. We don't have to try real hard to do the right things. We'll do them because we know the Creator, the life giver. And Paul said, I don't want to know anything else. I determined not to know anything else, know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If we'll get back to that, and it's simple. It's not hard. You know, Christianity, sometimes people want to make it so hard. Make all these things that you have to know. If we'll just get back to the simplicity of just knowing our God, just talking with Him, just fellowshipping with Him, through His Word, through prayer, through His Spirit. You know, there's all facets. We've talked about the different, you know, facets. You know, He's coming to church. He's here in a different way. Praise and worship. He was here in a different way. Fellowshipping with Him. That's our priority, is to know Him. Then everything else in our life will follow. We'll have everything we need. Because we can't know Him and not have what we need in the rest of our life. We'll have peace when we know the Creator. Just when we know the Creator of the universe, and we really know Him, we'll have peace. We don't have to seek peace. We don't have to make ourselves try real hard to have peace. We'll just have peace. Peace is there because he's peace. He's not troubled. Never been taken off guard. Supply. Anything. You have Jesus, you know him. Think about it. You have somebody in the natural. You have somebody as all-powerful as him, knowing down just in the natural, somebody that walked the earth that could meet any of your needs. If you know him intimately, I'm just talking about the natural. If there was somebody like that, you wouldn't be fretting about any kind of thing, supply in the natural. Somebody that has all wisdom, you know him. Then you're walking down in this earth. Is there anything? You're in a situation, frightful situation in the natural, but you know him. If we know him, he knows exactly what to do, and he knew it before we were ever born. He sees it clearly. He's not going to make a mistake. We know him, and we have. Everything is in him. We really don't need anything but him. If we have him, if we know him, I know that's almost a cliche, something, oh yeah, I know him, but when we, and I'm not talking about working to try to know him, I'm just saying that we just really step back a minute and say, that really is all there is, isn't it? That really is it. Now, relationships with other people will just flow from knowing him. I'm not going to treat you bad when I know him. And when I know him, he's with me. I'm not going to do it. Now, you think about it. If the President of the United States were next to you, and he held somebody in high esteem, and that person was also in the room, President's here, this other person whom the president holds in high esteem is in front of you. You don't like that person at all, let's say. Would you bawl that person out in the presence of the President of the United States? You'd never do it. I don't care what that person did. You'd bite your tongue. But how many times God's with us, but we're not aware of it, or we've put that out of our mind, and our spouse or somebody or our coworker or whatever, we're tempted to bawl them out. You would never, but here's somebody that God esteems very highly, right in front of you. We'd never do that if the President of the United States were there, but God Almighty is right there in the same room, and this is somebody that he esteems very highly. But if we know him, and we know whom he loves, we will never do that. We don't have to try. We don't have to give anybody a rule book. We don't have to do it. We just know Jesus. We'll do the right thing. You know, my daughter has a little bear, Rosie. That bear is important to her. If I know her and I know that's important to her, I'm not going to take Rosie and toss it down in front of her or rip Rosie's arms out. I never do that because that's important to my daughter. Same thing. Other people are important to God. And we see, it all comes back to just knowing him. To just knowing him. Thank God that he has done so much and it's so easy to let all this other junk just clutter up our life. And the devil will, he'll accommodate us. He'll accommodate us thinking all this other stuff's more important. And in fact, he'll drive you to that. Oh, you know, he'll drive you to do stuff or accommodate you thinking that you're trying to know God. And really, you're just doing a bunch of stuff. You know, you're reading all this because you're trying to know God instead of just relaxing like Mary and just, wait, he's with me. I'm not doing this to try to jump through hoops. I just want to know him. I just want a fellowship with him. I mean, I don't know about you, but man, if I had a relationship with somebody and there was just this rule book and I had to do all this before they would go out to lunch with me, and when I was out with lunch with me, I had to act a certain way and jump, I wouldn't want to be around that person. God's not like that either. He's not like that. He's not like that. He just wants to hang. You know, he's just the type of person, no matter what your house is, you know, and what conditions is like, he shows up, he doesn't care, he just sits on the couch, he just wants to hang out with you. He honestly doesn't care. It's not a big deal to him. Because that's not the important thing, you're the important thing. Thank God. He is so good. We can be like Paul, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let's turn over to Daniel 11:32. I want to read a verse of scripture there. Daniel 11:32. I'll read the second part of that. We can read the first half, but the second half. It says, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. I want to read that in the Amplified. It says, the second part of it, but the people who know their God shall prove themselves strong and shall stand firm and do exploits for God. You know, that's true today. It's true, the people that have known God, not known about God. Paul said he determined to know nothing else except Jesus Christ and him crucified. When we know God, we'll do things, not because we're trying to run out of the flesh, but it's just a byproduct of knowing him. When we know him, when we know God Almighty, we become his arms, his legs, his eye, not his eyes, he can see everything, but his on the earth, he's not here in the flesh anymore. He works through men. But that's not the first thing he's concerned about. He's not concerned with what you're doing. He's concerned with how we know him and how we have a relationship with him. And then the doing and the doing things for him, we say, that's all a byproduct because we have a relationship. See, I do things for my wife or for my children because I have a relationship with them. But I could do all kinds of things for them, and if they didn't think I loved them and I didn't ever spend any time with them and whatever, really, at the end of the day, it doesn't really mean much. But a lot of people have been duped by religion, and every other religion is like this, that you have to do certain things and follow a code in order to have a relationship with God. That's completely backwards, and we know it in the natural. You would never do that to another human being. And well, people do it all the time. They try to do all these things. We call it kissing up or doing things. They try to do all these things without really knowing the person. People don't like people that do that in the natural. Yet somehow we think, I mean, we can be tempted by religion to think that somehow God's pleased with that. He's not. All he wants is us. And if we just, we'll know him and get to know him and know his word, know not just about, you know, I can quote all these scriptures, but we just know him. We'll know how he'll do things because we've spent time fellowshipping with him and knowing him. The rest of it will follow. Things will happen then. Our lives will be just extensions of him. It's like if God were here, what would he do? Well, when we're hooked up with him and we know him and we know how he's leading us and we spend time with him, then we're just extensions of him. Then we, as Christians, we go around doing what he would have us to do. All of us in our place, he's telling us, because we're hooked up with him. We're hooked up with the director. The commander-in-chief is giving out orders, and we know that voice. We're tuned into the right frequency. And so we go and do things because we love him, not out of compulsion, not out of necessity, not grudgingly, but because we love him and we're so thankful for him and we know him. And so we just walk around being a blessing on this earth while we're here, just as a fruit. Just as a fruit. Just as an outflow. An outflow of our relationship with him. And sometimes, so many times we have it backward. Oh, God, if I could just do more for you. If I could just do more for you, then I know you'd be pleased with me and I would feel fulfilled. Completely backwards. That's backwards. But religion will tell us to do that. If I could do more for you, God, then I would feel better. No, we might want to do more for him because we love him and we know he's already accepted us and our heart is just to do everything we can. But that will never carry a tinge of condemnation or compulsion. It'll be out of love. And if it's out of love, then it's God motivated because God is love. And he came because he loved us. God gave his only begotten Son because he loved us. Not because he first loved us before we ever loved him. He's already given to us, so we're just given back to him out of a relationship. And then things flow and things happen because we love him and because we know him. Let's turn to Colossians 1:9. Colossians 1:9, "For this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Increasing in the knowledge of God. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, as we know God more, we'll be fruitful. As we know Him and get to know Him and are solidly, our foundation is solid on Him, then we'll be fruitful in every good work. Verse 11, "strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." Increasing in the knowledge of God, that's something we'll do all our life, is increase in the knowledge of God. And for eternity, we will increase in the knowledge of God. There is so much, you can't even measure how little we know compared to how much there is to know about God. It's infinite. And so much knowledge. I mean, we think the world has a lot of knowledge now. It's nothing compared to the knowledge of God. God has so much. He knows so much. And we just want to know Him. Let's turn over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3:14. "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." That we would know the love of Christ, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. See, when we know Him, you can't know God without knowing His love. His foundation for knowing us is His love. It's all about, He loved us first so that we can love Him. It's not about us trying to love Him so that He can love us. He loved us. And so as we are grounded in that, when we know Him, know how much He loved us, know how much He wants for us, and just fellowship with Him and getting to know Him, then we'll be filled with all the fullness of God. And then He says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Thank God. Thank God. It is about knowing Him. When we know Him, we'll go out and do things. When we know Him and know His purpose, when we know Him, we flow with Him. When we know Him, we know what to do in situations. When we know Him, His power is resident there. When we know Him, we have everything we need. We don't have to try to go study up on healing, per se, to try to somehow drag it out of Him, because we know Him. We know what He'll do. We know it's available. We don't have to try to conjure up some kind of, I got to figure out what to do in this situation, because we know Him. And everything will flow from that as an outflow of the fact that we know Him, because He's the source. It's not us. We can't generate anything. It's Him. And so as we know Him, we just become an outflow of His power. There is nothing else that's more important than that. Let's turn over to Philippians 3, verse 7. Then I want to read something to you. Philippians 3, verse 7. It says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ." See, Paul had a lot going for him before he knew Jesus, in the natural society and everything. He sat at the feet of a great teacher, and he knew the things of the law, and he was esteemed and everything. But he said in verse 7, "What things were gained to me, These I have counted loss for Christ. Verse 8, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attend to the resurrection of the dead. But notice, he said, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And then down in verse 10, he said, that I may know Him. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. See, Paul turned the world upside down. And he says over and over, it is all, I don't care, all the natural stuff I had, all the knowledge I had, and he was very educated. It doesn't mean anything. I count that all as loss. I want to know Christ. I want to know Him crucified. I would trade all that stuff for the knowledge of God, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. That's the central thing. That's the power plant for somebody like him and the people that turned the world upside down from the beginning. And it's the same thing with us. It's not anything external. It's knowing Christ, because it's all about Him. If it's anything but Him, think about it. If you know Him, Christ, that's what Paul said. If we know Him in the power of His resurrection, think about that phrase, the power of His resurrection, all the power that is in Him that it took to raise Him from the dead, and the power because He has been raised from the dead, the fact that we are new creatures in Him, that sin has no domination over us, that we have become vessels of Almighty God walking around on this earth. The more we focus on that and know that, nothing in the world can stop us in our lives. We come back to realize that all this is secondary. The only reason, like I said last week, the only reason we're even here right now is because there's other people that are going to hell. Otherwise, let's just pack up and go to heaven and be there. You know, why should we even be here on this earth anymore? But when we realize that it really, God created man to fellowship with Him, and I can start right now. I don't have to wait till I go to heaven, that I'm here, and the more I know Him and focus on that, then I realize I don't have anything to worry about on this earth. I know my God. I know Him. I know in every situation He's already has a plan, and I know Him, so I know what He'll do, and I have all His resources and all His power with me. What else do we need? That's it. That's it. We focus on that, walk out. We'll automatically live right. We'll automatically treat other people right. We'll affect the people around us because we know our God and we hold that as the pearl of great price, which I trade everything else as long as I know Jesus. No matter what the conditions are around me, I know Him and I have Him with me, and nobody can take that away from me. And we shine as lights, like we said last week. We shine as lights unto men. Now, I want to read you something that Brother Hagin prophesied in 1979 at Rhema. You may have heard it before. He said, what is that sound? This was at a graduation ceremony in 1979. He says, what is that sound? What is that sound that I hear? It's the sound of many feet. It's the sound of beautiful feet. It's the sound of feet going forth with the good news. Who are these that make the sound? This sound of tramp, tramp, tramp as they go tramping along? Who are these? Yes, they are those chosen of the Lord, called of God, equipped by His Spirit. Yea, they are those who do know their God. They are those who do know His Word. They are those who know the mighty name, the name that's above all, every name, the name of Jesus. Yea, they are those with the message of deliverance, the message of healing, the message of victory, the message of God. Who are these, and from whence have they come? Where are they going? Yea, they come from the very bosom of the Father, from the right hand of God. For their Master, even the Lord Himself, as He ascended on high, gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. They come from the very throne of God, the right hand of authority. Where are they going? They are going to the uttermost parts of the earth. They are going where an empty hand is reaching out for help. They're going where there is a hungry cry, hungry for the bread of this life and for the true bread of life, where He's crying out for help. They're going around the world to tell the story, to proclaim the message, to do the work that God called them to do. Hallelujah. But notice He said it's those who do know their God. When we know our God, when we know what He said He would do, when He said, I love this part, when He said they are those with the message of deliverance, the message of healing, the message of victory, the message of God. See, when we know our God, we'll never pervert it. We'll know, no, that's not God. That's not God. This is what God is. God is victory. God is deliverance. God is healing. God is wholeness. My God. My God. We know our God. And we'll go out and we'll do exploits because we know Him. Not because we're great, but because we know Him. We count everything else. We put it aside. We know Him. We want Jesus. Everything else will just flow from that as we walk on this earth and share with people. You know, we know Him, so it just bubbles over. And then as we go, and our lives will be taken care of. And other people will be affected. All because we know Him. Not because we have to go do anything. Not because we're trying to work anything up. It's because we know Him. It's because we know Him. Thank you, Lord.